This is George M. Landis speaking on What Saith the Scriptures. What saith the Scriptures as to the Lamb of God? Maybe look at one verse from God's Word, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29. The next day John, that is John the Baptist, seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. A prophetic meteor had flamed its burning way across the religious sky of Palestine, a sky which had been darkened by 4 centuries of divine silence. Sacramentalism on one hand and secularism on the other had well nigh blotted out every twinkling star of spirituality. This new prophet was as uncouth and unattractive in personal appearance as the charred meteorite to which he has been compared. Clothed in camel's hair and eating the wilderness manure of locusts and wild honey, no one would be naturally drawn to him. But when ignited by the flame of holy zeal and the consciousness of his divine commission, as he called men to repentance and proclaimed the kingdom of heaven to be at hand, thousands flocked to hear him and were baptized, confessing their sins. So great was the consternation in temple circles caused by the growing train of this strange luminary, that a committee of priests and Levites was delegated to investigate his person and work. He was the son of was he the son of righteousness who was to arise with healing in his wings and bring back the glory to Israel? Or was he that prophet who was to herald the arrival of that mighty one? When questioned, John frankly denied that he was the Christ, but he testified of an unknown one in their very midst, the latchet of whose shoe he was not worthy to unloose. The day following the investigation, a young man of about 30 was seen to approach the wilderness prophet. Immediately the mouth which had hurled a burning invective, generation of vipers, at the religious leaders of Israel, now exclaims with holy passion, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The meteor had made straight its path of light across the sky, and must now fade from sight as quickly as it had appeared, finally to be extinguished in Herod's dungeon. Such is the setting of our text. May the Holy Spirit use it to open the sin-closed hearts and minds of any unsaved who may be listening, and fill with praise the lips of all who already know the Lamb of God. In the text we see first a designation of the Savior, the Lamb of God. This title, like the Friend of Sinners, is one of the favorite names by which our blessed Lord is known, and concerning it we will note 3 things. This title identifies Christ with the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, with its wealth of typical instruction. When Abel offered the firstling of his flock, it was a more excellent sacrifice than the fruit of the earth which Cain brought. God had respect to Abel's offering because it pointed down through the succeeding centuries to his only begotten Son, who, as the Lamb of God, should bear away, not typically, but actually, the sin of the world, from Adam to the end of time. When ascending the slopes of Mount Moriah, Isaac, the son of promise, inquired, My father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? He voiced the need of this sin-cursed and conscience-stricken race. Isaac's question was really unanswered until 1900 years later, when John the Baptist exclaimed, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. When on the night of that first Passover in the land of Egypt, the death angel entered not the homes whose portals were sprinkled with the blood of the slain lamb. God was pointing his people to Christ, the true paschal lamb, to be slain upon Calvary's cross 15 centuries later, and whose blood protects the trusting sinner from the wrath of a holy God. During the millennium and a half of the Mosaic dispensation, innumerable lambs were slain at the morning and evening sacrifice, at the appointed annual feast, and on many other occasions. Each one of these hundreds of thousands of lambs pointed to the Lamb of God, whom John the Baptist announced. To the devout Jew of that day, John's declaration could have no other meaning than that the one of whom he spake was the same one of whom Isaac had prophesied. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Sad it is that today many of the sons of Abraham read this marvelous prophecy with their backs to the cross, and so, standing in their own light, they apply it to their own afflicted nation. We next notice that this title indicates our Lord's mission. The lamb was a substitutionary sacrifice. It belonged to the offerer, who, by laying his hands upon its head, identified himself with it, and showed in type that his sins were transferred to the lamb, which was by its death to pay the penalty for them. However, it must be remembered that it was not in the power of the lamb to remove the sin of the Israelites. As the old hymn expressed it, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away one stain. But in view of the fact that Jesus Christ was, in the plan and purpose of God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God could justly spare the sinner who by faith offered the sacrifice which anticipated the greater sacrifice of the greater Lamb on Calvary's tree. And so the hymn continues, but Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. As the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ came into the world to die for the ungodly, to become the substitute for all sinners who would trust in him, thereby making satisfaction to the offended holiness of God. Every one who believes in him as Savior can truly say, he bare my sin in his own body on the tree. He, the just one, suffered for me, the unjust, that he might bring me to God. The title Lamb of God not only identified Christ with the sacrificial system of the Old Testament, but indicates his mission, but also implies his deity. It not only shows that he was sent from God, but also implies that he is God. No one less than God could atone for sin. God had no alternative to sin, no alternate to sin. He must come himself in the second person of the Trinity. The blood of all the lambs of earth, of every saint in all dispensations, of every martyr of the cross, all these merged into one mighty stream, would be insufficient to cleanse the stain of a single sin. The blood of Christ, being of infinite value, morally outweighs the sins of the whole world. Well did the Apostle Peter say, for we have not been redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. We saw in the text a designation of the Savior. We will now further see in it a salvation for the sinner, that taketh away the sin of the world. The objects of salvation are the inhabitants of this world. The devil, demons, and fallen angels are outside the frontiers of God's gracious election. How our hearts should be humble, and our voices raised in thanksgiving to God, when we realize that all our sin and unworthiness, we are the beneficiaries of his redeeming love and saving grace. The need of salvation has been created by sin. Sin separated between man and his maker, defiled man's nature, and drove him from the garden. Sin placed upon man's shoulders a burden of trouble, anguish, sorrow, sickness, suffering, and death, a burden which would forever render him incapable of regaining the glorious heights from which he had fallen. No man feels his need of salvation until he gets a vision of his sin. Sin makes man helpless to save himself and hopeless as to the future. The method of salvation is the removal of sin. Hear again the text that taketh away the sin of the world. Sin is an offense to God and something which makes the sinner incapable of living in God's glorious presence. Therefore, Since sin created the need of salvation, the method of that salvation must be concerned with the removal of sin. Remission of sin was what Lady Macbeth craved when in agony of conviction and helplessness she cried, "Out, out, damned spot," as she saw the accusing blood of the murdered Duncan upon her white hand. Sin must be removed before the sinner can have one ray of hope. But who can remove our sin? No saint on earth, no seraphim in the heavenly realm, no angel or archangel can do this work. Where then, within the boundaries of the universe, can a chemical be found that can blot out and remove the accursed stains? The question naturally brings us to the next point. The author of salvation is God himself. Unstop your ears, ye victims of the curse. Ye who are hopeless in your helplessness, turn ye, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Every Christian with deep thanksgiving can cry, as far as the east is from the west, so far as they remove our transgressions from us. And what he takes away, never in all eternity will he bring back, hallelujah, to the Lamb. But ere we close, we must mention the condition of salvation, which is faith in him, one who died for you. In him, the one who died for you. Sinner, you who are living in daily dread of the wrath of God, would you be saved? Behold the Lamb of God. As in the wilderness the Israelite, dying from the venom of the fiery serpent, turned his feverish gaze to the serpent of brass upon the pole and lived, so may you, bitten by the more deadly serpent, sin, heed the blessed words, for as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Redeemed ones, as witnesses of our Lord, let us take this saving message of the Lamb of God upon our lips and show it in our lives. Let us go out into the dying world and point sinners to the Lamb. Shout it in the palaces of faith. Shout it in the gilded halls of shade. Shout it o'er the ocean ways. Shout it in the rocks and caves. Shout it in the realms of night. Shout where men reject the light. Shout to every soul you meet, in the mart or in the street, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is George M. Landis speaking. Thank you all.